When I was at the University of Chicago, after the Air Force, and attending classes in education, Department of Quantitative Methods, and in Behavioral Science, one theme kept coming out to us students who were striving for knowledge, and that was that the truth lies on top of a three-legged stool, which is composed of a leg for the empiricist, a leg for the theoretician, and the leg for the practitioner. Over the years, I have focused on the empiricist, but always respecting and certainly requiring the need of the theoretician and the practitioner. I've also come to realize that there is wisdom in adding another leg, not only because it's more stability, but it also adds to understanding whatever it is you are evaluating. And that leg is, I would label, values. And I would think that most of us here, if not all, are either focused on the empirical, the theoretical, the practitioner, or the values. And I think the values group are the administrators, the advocacy groups, and the ones who are just seeking and wanting some information. So hopefully I can share with you a project that I've been involved with over the last 3 years, and it has a perspective, I think, that reflects some of the things we've already heard, and I think it may be useful in your work, if you are an evaluator or if you are a practitioner, how to perhaps discuss with your evaluator some of your needs, or the theoretician or the administrator. Okay. I'm Harry Piotrowski. I'm the director for IT Mesa, and there's quite a few people involved that greatly make this work doable. Dr. Hedeker is an advisor statistician at University of Chicago now, and Michelle Lee is a program developer who sort of makes this whole thing work at the data collection level. Some acknowledgments. This is part of a grant from Administration on Children, Youth, and Families, FISBE. I was funded as the evaluator in the grant, so there is some connection between myself and the grant in that way. With a federally supported initiative, IT Mesa and PAC adapted and fused three curricular programs for high-risk young adolescents. PAC is a non-for-profit in Valparaiso, Indiana, that has many, many years worked with adolescents to make life better for them and the ones who they live with and will grow up with and end up continuing their life after they finish school. We developed a Horizon program. It was responsive to community needs, high-risk minority population, responsive to the values of parents, schools, teachers, and students, and targeted at middle school teens during the emergence of risky behaviors. I like to do evaluation always keeping in mind four things, and we'll talk about three of them here. In any project that's now federally funded looking at outcomes, you'll hear the words fidelity, and those are measures of the process about instruction, tracking attendance, and the core elements of whatever it is that the intervention is all about. The second is implementation, assessment of teaching, what I call student responsiveness. The third, not always required in federal and state grants, but also has a lot of value for the schools, the principals, and the community who want to have some information on, well, what happened? Tell me what difference it made. The first two don't give you an answer to that. The third one gives you an approximate answer. And I call it outcomes, and it's short-term psychosocial questions about attitudes, knowledge, skills, and behavioral intentions. And then impact the long-term, and that's, in this case, risk reduction, risk avoidance. It's traditionally the most austere, most difficult, most scientific, highest quality randomized controlled trial, or in our case, a quasi-experimental design. And number four will be for another report. Some characteristics of four communities in Northwest Indiana. Three of them are very impoverished communities in terms of economics. One indicator, percent reduced free lunch varies for the four communities, 11 schools, graduation rate, 57% to 87%. So I've got a range there, but only one school stands out in the middle or above that range. So really the other 10 schools are predominantly in the middle and below, to give you a sense of the riskness of the community adolescent population. There are some goals to the fidelity evaluation of a three-part curriculum, and to evaluate if high fidelity is attained in this new curriculum that's being developed. And there are two criteria. 80% of the students attend 75% or more of 14 sessions, and implementation of the core activities among the 14 sessions. So that's the fidelity part. What's the implementation part? Well, there are many ways to approach this. We took the approach of getting student post-instruction surveys. Because the curriculum has three components, we wanted to see if they report positively on the instruction educators overall. And we're familiar with those kinds of measures and items. But we added additional items that tap into healthy relationships curriculum and tap into the sexual activity risk reduction and the risk avoidance curriculum. Then there's the outcome evaluation. So what do you do with a limited budget? You don't have a comparison group, in the sense of a randomized controlled trial. Well, you can still administer pre-post questionnaires, and you can ask questions about psychosocial measures. And without a comparison group, behavior measures are not going to be informative. So we ask questions about sexual activity risk prevention, attitudes, knowledge, risk reduction, risk avoidance, and positive peer relationships, attitudes, knowledge, and skills. Then we ask the impact evaluation question. With a quasi-experimental design, evaluate whether or not the Horizon program made an impact on the sexual activity of the participating adolescents 12 months after completion of the program. And that's something we'll report on later. The data collection of the study just ended 2 months ago. So we're just beginning to put this together. Long-term goals of this Horizon curriculum: reduce the occurrence of pregnancy and STIs and promote positive youth development. The measurable objectives, translated in terms of what operationally we intend to measure, we intend to measure increased intention to not engage in sexual behavior, increased sexual risk behavior avoidance and reduction, knowledge, attitudes, and intentions, increased knowledge about healthy relationships, one of the two main goals of FSBE in promoting these grants, and increase positive attitudes about healthy relationships, increase life skills, developing and maintaining healthy peer relationships, and increase parent-adolescent communication. What is the Horizon program? Well, consecutive weeks during the school day, group instruction, 45 to 50 minute sessions, lots of interactive activities in the seventh grade, could be in the eighth grade. It's a three-part fusion. The 8 sessions come from the FAT curriculum by Jamaat, very well known evidence-based reducing HIV, STDs, and teen pregnancy goal. The second comes from very hard look at the Dibble Institute's Love You Too relationship smarts and identifying what they call sessions or chapters that may fit into this curriculum of, we thought 14 sessions is probably near the max of what the principal or the superintendent would allow us to intervene with. So we selected 5 sessions from the evidence promising Dibble Institute's program curriculum. And we put together 1 session, which are adaptive activities and skill building exercises from CDC contraceptive education initiative with emphasis on reducing risks. So the first one is risk avoidance. The second one is evidence promising relationship skills. And the last one is risk reduction. Emphasis on abstinence, primary prevention, medically accurate contraceptive education, secondary prevention, and the adult preparation subjects, which was a theme and focus of FISBE, which wanted us to select 3 out of, I think, 7 to work on, and we selected healthy relationships, and that's why we brought in the Dibble Institute chapters. It's implemented by 2 prevention educators, receive extensive training. It's based on theory. A lot of activities. We recruited 11 schools over a two-year period. 7th graders. Year 1 was pilot. Year 2 and 3 was implement instruction, implement the evaluation plan, implement the fidelity, implementation, and outcome evaluation. And year 4, and I say year 4 because we were funded for another round, which presents all kinds of opportunities and challenges and responsibilities. Data collected. So we collected attendance data using established method of tracking attendance. We administered post-instruction student survey for the implementation data using reliable items and some newly developed items around student responsiveness in the student survey. And we administer baseline and immediate post questionnaire for the outcome evaluation. And all 3 essentially are used for what I call quality assurance for continued development of the curriculum, maintaining proficiency by the educators in teaching. So the analysis is Likert scales, items, target. We said early and said we want 75% of the students to strongly agree or agree with our items on the 3 curricular areas. We had a pre-post questionnaire. Our intention was to measure statistical significance and look whether we have a modest, moderate, or a high effect size. And then we did some complicated analyses. Student demographics. Cohort 1 is the year 2. Cohort 3 is year 3. These are students who signed consent. We went through the IRB to make sure that we followed a protocol and the schools requested that we do an IRB, though we did not have for the pre-post behavior questions we did on the QED, quasi-experimental design. So it's a little breakdown of the students. It's largely 13 years old, another indication of the socioeconomics of the communities, the students where they come from, about half come from a home with both parents. And apparently I have a miscount on the right side. We'll correct that. Okay. Psychosocial measures. So we have risk avoidance attitude. These are questions that are asked in the sexual activity scales. So we have a composite scale called risk avoidance attitude, and listed below are two example items. We have a composite scale called risk avoidant knowledge, and then we have some items below. We have risk reduction behavior intentions, sample items. We have risk avoidance behavior intentions. We define them differently by the items. I think one gets a sense one is risk reduction, the other is risk avoidance. Then we ask questions about the relationship, and these come from the objectives of the relationship curriculum. We looked very carefully and extracted words and or actually phrases out of that curriculum objectives and put them into questions. So we had peer relationship knowledge, example of the kinds of questions that were asked. We had peer relationship skills composite score. And we have peer relationship attitudes. Fidelity evaluation. So we now get into results. Well, over approximately 85% or more attended 75% of the sessions. And the core activities were performed 90-91% of the time. Implementation evaluation. Student post survey. So we asked them, do you strongly agree, not sure, disagree, strongly disagree. First, we were surprised when we saw these responses. This is overall instructions. Students are reporting strongly agree or agree. Strongly agree is usually in the 30-50%. It varies, but those are rather very large percentages. I'll comment on those as we get to the next one. Next one is on the relationship curriculum. Students are telling, we asked them what did they learn, or do they agree that they learned this content? And the last is sexual activity risk prevention. What we did was, rather than ask the students 33 questions, we had three forms with essentially 11 questions in each form. So in each class, let's say there are 33 students, 11 got Form A, 11 got Form B, 11 got Form C. A couple of the items were reverse items, so the students were responding to the reverse items, so there wasn't a set. But I think what the percents represent is student responsiveness. It's rather high, but it's a positive indication of responsiveness. The actual results, outcome evaluation. Normally, what the practitioners wanted to know and the administrators, well, did the program make a difference when you look at pre-post questionnaires? And that's the bottom line. There was a plus 7% increase in attitudes ranging from 0 to 100 scale. The intercept tells us what to expect overall. So there was a 7% increase if you were in the Horizon post-questionnaire as opposed in the pre-questionnaire. So the students are telling us that their attitude changed in the positive way, knowledge changed in the positive way, risk reduction changed in a positive way, and risk avoidance changed in a positive way. The other items there are covariates in the model, so you wonder, well, what do they mean? I'll focus on the boys. So I reproduced on the left side the risk avoidance. See a negative 12%. Sounds like it's not good. But what's actually happening is boys increased 10%, girls increased 7%, but there's still 12.1% difference. So it's called a moderator. Each subgroup increased significantly. Now, we did interaction tests. There were no interactions where, let's say, one group went one direction and the other group went in another direction or stayed the same. So when you look back at this, there are no interactions. They're just moderators, meaning that boys had lower scores than girls. Hispanics had 2% lower than non-Hispanics, etc. For the positive peer relations, again, boys had lower, but all significantly different compared pre to post. Summary, I think overall the curriculum had high fidelity. Students were responsive to the three curricula. Students demonstrated psychosocial changes in attitudes, knowledge, and intentions and skills. The Horizon three-part curriculum with high-risk seventh grade, largely minority urban students is an evidence-promising curriculum that promotes positive peer relationships. And my final point, as an evaluator and a practitioner, when you look at that right-hand slide, you ask yourself, do we want an interaction in the second round of the grant so that the boys have a higher pre-post change so that at post, the boys are similar to girls? Can the curriculum be tweaked? So those are the kinds of things that we're looking at. And that wraps up the presentation.